Have you ever had to wash your mouth out with soap for saying a bad word? I bet that was terrible. Today, we're going to wash out our mouths with the Bible. Trigger warning. This is Caffeinated Christianity. I would like to extend my condolences to the 8 fans I have out there. Did not post a podcast last week. I was on spring break, and so I decided to, I guess, take the week off and leave you in riveting anticipation of what I was going to say next on a cheap Amazon microphone. So good news for you. The sun is out today, folks, and I am back on the mic. So the internet is an unsafe place once again. Anyways, welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity. I'd like to point out this is episode 20, so we're out here hitting milestones, ladies and gentlemen. The next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee is black and the opinions are completely unqualified. What are we talking about today? Today, we're talking about cussing. Yeah, that's right. We're talking about cussing. What is the verse of the episode, Cooper? Well, let me read it to you. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is going to continue to be our memory verse, or not, I guess, not memory verse, our theme verse for the culture series, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to take these challenging cultural ideas and we're going to apply the Bible to them and look at it through the lens of a biblical worldview. Here's the full disclaimer before we even get this ball rolling. A, I get super passionate about some of these things. B, I have committed lots of sins, so I'm in no way talking about any of these cultural aspects we're going to cover in the next few weeks from a position of holier-than-thou-ness, if that makes any sense. 3, this is purely my view on these things. I do the research that I can, but ultimately this is really opinion that I find substantiated in biblical fact. Just going to throw that out there. So if you disagree with me, I would love to know why, and that would be actually kind of cool for us to have a dialogue about that because, you know, believe it or not, I don't know everything. I'm a 20-year-old college athlete who just drinks coffee a lot and, you know, wears the same shirts all the time. So it's really not a big deal if you disagree with me. Would love to talk about it. But anyways, let's go ahead and dive into this. Let me go ahead and start this entire segment off with saying, should we cuss if we're going to call ourselves a Christian? The unequivocal answer, let me give it to you in Spanish, is no. We should not. Never. Not at all. None. Zero. We should not cuss. We'll get into that in just a second. But first, we should just define cussing, or really, I guess the appropriate word would be cursing. Cussing is actually the, like, kind of redneck colloquial word for cursing, believe it or not. Let's define cussing. An offensive word or phrase used to express anger or annoyance. Now listen, let me establish this fact that I feel like is somewhat of an elephant in the room. Could be a medium-sized elephant, still an elephant. Cussing is culturally circumstantial. I'll agree to that. Right, there are certain words in certain places that mean different things. And, you know, for example, this is not necessarily the same principle, but we know the King James Version uses words for especially types of animals that we now almost solely refer to as derogatory cuss words. Not going to repeat those. But those are one of those gray areas. I'm talking about you casually just deciding to use cuss words, in your everyday language, talking to people, things like that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And should we do it if we're going to call ourselves a Christian? The answer to that would be no. Christians should not engage in cussing or cursing in any manner. Why is that, Cooper? Why do you feel like that? Well, let me give you the biblical reasons before I give you the far more opinionated practical reasons. Here are some of the biblical reasons. James 3:10. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Brothers, this ought not be so, writes James. It's pretty hypocritical and also a huge damage to your witness if out of one side of your mouth you're saying things that benefit the kingdom, and now the other side of your mouth, you're saying things that completely reflect the world for all that it is. I'll get more on. I'll hit that point a little harder in a second. So that's the first reason, James 3:10. The second reason is Ephesians 4:29, which is, I'm sure, is a very familiar verse to those of you listening. It says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Kind of the point of that verse, even though it's pretty obvious, is the only talk that should be coming out of your mouth is what is profitable for other people in building them up and in advancing the kingdom. I cannot think of one example at all where the gospel is getting shared by you cussing. Cannot think of one example. Cannot think of one. If you can think of one, let me know. I doubt it's a real example. Not a thing. Here's a third reason. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, it means you're saved. If you're saved, it means you're unlike the natural human sinful nature everyone's born into. Now, what am I not saying? I'm not saying that once saved, you're not a sinner. What I am saying is that once saved, you should see sin differently, and you should see how you live your life differently. So if we're saved, we're new, and we're not supposed to look like the world. Well, what does the world do? The world cusses. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 7:22, Romans 12:2 all speak to this point. If you're going to be saved, I mean, among other verses, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, it means you're saved. And if you're saved, you ought to act, look differently. Here's something that we don't stress enough, I feel like, in the church. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. I don't see it being stressed that hard, and it's something that I'm a huge advocate of. I am really passionate about your personal witness. I'm a huge stickler for your witness. I feel like everything I say and do reflects my claim as a Christian. So I'm really self-conscious about the things I say and do around other people because I have this weird, irrational fear that one day I'm going to be standing behind the pulpit and I'm going to say something, you know, spiritual, as preachers do behind the pulpit, and someone in the crowd is going to be like, "Man, I knew him when he was in high school, and he didn't act like that, so I don't believe what he's saying." My goal for a long time has been to basically make my past watertight, so that way people understand that what I'm saying spiritually is legit and that I actually adhere to it. You know, I gave this example. It was either in a blog or a podcast. You know, but a Clemson fan would never walk up and adequately convince you to be a Georgia fan. Wouldn't happen. You know, "Hey man, you know, you should pull for Georgia for these reasons," but I mean, I don't pull for them, so you know, that's whatever, but you really should. You know, how does it look when you're pitching the gospel to people and when you're trying to show them, like, "Hey, this is what Jesus Christ can do for you," but you look absolutely 100% no different than they do? That makes absolutely no sense. If you're saved, you ought to look different. And by looking incredibly different is you not cussing. You know, probably I would say as a college athlete, 70% of the spiritual conversations I personally have with guys on my team is about cussing and why I don't. And why I choose not to do that. And people notice that I don't, you know, and that's something simple. Just cutting some words out of your vocabulary. People notice that. That is a perfect segue into a spiritual conversation. Like, "Listen, here's what Christ means to me, and I feel like I'm not representing him by using cuss words." That's what I always tell people, and I kind of cite some of these verses. So those are the biblical reasons. Let me give you the practical reasons why you simply just shouldn't cuss. For one, it's pretty unprofessional. If I go into, you know, a job interview, and I'm interviewing with a company where the guy's just sitting there, you know, blasting profanity the whole time, versus an interview where I go in and the guy is, you know, talking very professionally and, you know, kind of, I guess, PG, if that makes any sense. Like, it's not really that impressive or professional that you just throw cuss words around. Which goes to my next point, is cussing kind of sounds ignorant. Like, you couldn't think of anything else to say. Now, definitely, do people get mad and, like, kind of burst out and cuss? Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that's a little bit different. I don't think it's permissible, but I think it's a little bit different. Cussing's pretty unprofessional. It sounds kind of ignorant. It's a little unwholesome. You never know who's standing around you. You know, it's best not to corrupt those around us. It's best not to corrupt the ears, especially children. You know, we're trying to keep them as innocent as possible for as long as possible, because eventually they're going to hit the real world and it's going to punch them in the throat. You know, you ought to be kind of cognizant of who you're around and the decisions you're making around those people. Cussing's also not necessary. You can literally convey the exact same ideas without using the cuss words. And if you kind of cuss to be funny, think of all the words you could substitute for cuss words that actually make your jokes that much more hilarious because the words are ridiculous. I mean, really think about that. If you actually want to be funnier, you use punchlines that people are not used to hearing, because that kind of elicits a little more comedy, at least in my experience. And kind of the last reason, which I've already kind of touched on, is that if you're going to call yourself a Christian, but then you continue to have a bad mouth, you don't look any different to anyone else. You're probably the cornerstone of your witness is the fact that you are and that you appear and seem to be different than everyone else around an unbeliever. If you've got an entire room full of unbelievers and you're the only believer in the room, you ought to seem, act, speak, think, walk, talk a lot differently than they do. And I think one component of that, and one very easy thing to nip in the bud, is the way you talk. You know, James talks about in his book repeatedly that, you know, the tongue is hard to tame, and that unwholesome speech is definitely a negative thing. I mean, it's 100% negative thing. He's not the only person that talks about it. You know, I'm not, you know, the biblical encyclopedia over here, so I'm not just going to cite you all these verses that I know, because I don't know that many, but I think I know enough to kind of back up what I'm saying. My point is that there's really no positive to cussing or cursing. The only positive is that sometimes you can be funny with it, and you can also be funny without using it. You know, it's really not entirely that necessary. I think there are definitely a few minor gray areas. I don't think any of those gray areas are permissible. I think they're, in terms of practicality, excusable, because I understand that you're human, but none of it's definitely permissible. We ought to get to the point where everything we say and do reflects Christ. And one very, very easy way to make that happen is not to use bad words. That's one of the easiest things you can do, is just don't cuss. Like pretty simple. Just don't do it. And here's something else that I don't think ever gets hit on very much, and I'm gonna say this because I feel firmly about this. I'm just gonna use Twitter as the main example because it's mostly words on Twitter. Things you like, favorite, retweet, quote tweet, whatever. Things that appear on your timeline are essentially you saying those things. They are. They are essentially you saying them. I don't care if you disagree with me on that. I will not budge on that point. That is a hill I will die on. If it is on your timeline, you are endorsing it, and you may as well have said it. I try to be very, very careful about not retweeting and favoriting and things like that, stuff with profanity in it. Why is that? Well, because I'm partially a conservative old man. The real reason is because my witness is such, is my physical perceptive witness is the cornerstone of my sharing the gospel. The worst way to kill a gospel presentation is to have no personal spiritual legitimacy. You're trying to tell somebody that, hey, here's what God can do for you. Here's what it looks like when you act like a Christian, but you're not doing what you're advocating. You're telling people to pull for Georgia when you're a Clemson fan. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. That's being a fake Christian, and that's helping literally zero people out. Zero people out. I don't think there's any room for you to say, I'm a Christian and I cuss. I also think this is probably one of the easiest things to not do. Choose different words. You know, there were some words in my vocabulary, I wouldn't call them cuss words, but there were words that I probably needed to stop using. You know, what you cannot do practically is say, I'm going to cut out, you know, these 9 words. But you can focus on one word and focus on it for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, until you realize that it's eradicated out of your vocabulary. Then go to the next word and take it out. I'm not saying you're a terrible person if you're a Christian and you cuss. I'm not saying you're a terrible person if, you know, you've cussed before or if, you know, whatever. What I am telling you is it's not, it's, you know, I say on the show all the time, a show, podcast, whatever, know Christ and reflect Christ. It is no reflection of Christ to use bad words. It is none. It is zero reflection of Christ. It is reflection only of yourself. It's a reflection only of the world. I think if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, and if we're going to share the gospel effectively, we got to cut it out. So that is culture part one. Cussing, we shouldn't be doing it. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, let's cut it out. That goes for all of us. Let's cut it out. On the next episode, I'm not even going to lie to you. I have no idea what the next episode will be on. So, you know, just, I guess, kind of stay tuned. Your CHH song of the episode is the song Sweet Victory by Trip Lee. That's a throwback. I got the opportunity to go to a concert this past weekend and see all of the guys from Reach Records in concert. That'd be Lecrae, Andy Mineo, Tadashi, Trip Lee, 1K Few, What Up RG, KB, Gavi, and I'm forgetting someone. No, that's eight. I think that's eight. I don't know. I think I said one person. Anyways, I got to see all eight guys from Reach Records in concert. Absolutely incredible experience. Probably the thing that sticks out to me most, and this is something I encourage you all to do, if you're even remotely a Christian rap fan or you're even skeptical about Christian rap music, go see these guys in concert. There's so many parts of these concerts that are so worshipful and so Christ-centered and just very, very, very honoring to God and very honoring to the Lord. And your opinion will be unequivocally changed if you see these guys in concert. You can listen to their music and you can follow them on Instagram and that's all good and well, but I'm telling you, until you see these guys in concert, your opinion will remain kind of in the dark. Because I was the exact same way and I love everything they make. It was a great experience, totally worth my money. It just made me that much more proud, not only to be a Christian rap fan, but to be an actual child of God. It was a very powerful experience. So that song would be Sweet Victory by Tripley. That's a classic. Closest thing to a worship song I think you can get out of a rap artist. It's a good one. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. I'll reimburse you for the brain cells. Follow us on Twitter at Calf Christ and Instagram at Calf Christ. You can check out calfchrist.com to get more content. Pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ. John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. Watch your mouth and remember, and don't ever forget, bro, the battle, it's already won. 50 songs. Audi.